Our scripture reading this evening, dear friends, is found in the Gospel according to John, the 18th chapter, beginning in the 28th verse. In the New Testament, the fourth Gospel account, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, chapter 18, we begin in verse 28. If you will skim the immediately preceding context, we'll discover that Jesus has been arrested, having been betrayed. He was taken bound to Annas, who was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, the high priest. He was subsequently brought to Caiaphas for a second trial, we might say. Through it all, Peter was denying him, not once, not twice, three times, as Jesus had prophesied that he would. Now the Jewish leaders, keeping Jesus still bound, bring him to the Roman governor, Pilate, for further trial and what they hope would be a verdict and a subsequent execution. In the context of our scripture reading, the Apostle John does not tell us, as is made clear in the other Gospels, that before we get tonight to the crucifixion, Pilate had sent Jesus to Herod. Herod is the one who mocked him, put the crown of thorns on him, the purple robe, and sent him back to Pilate as sort of a joke. History tells us that, and the scriptures tell us that Pilate and Herod had not been friends up to that point, but this ordeal with Jesus sort of brought them together in common opposition to the Christ. So with that bit of context, with that bit of historical background, we begin our scripture reading in John 18, verse 28. We read through verse 40 to the end of that chapter. But I draw your special attention to verses 33 through 40, as verses 33 through 40 will constitute our special focus of attention, our text for this evening. John 18, beginning in verse 28, hear then the word of the Lord. Then the Jews led Jesus from Caiaphas to the palace of the Roman governor. By now it was early morning. To avoid ceremonial uncleanness, the Jews did not enter the palace. They wanted to be able to eat the Passover. So Pilate came out to them and asked, "What charges are you bringing against this man?" "If he were not a criminal," they replied, "we would not have handed him over to you." Pilate said, "Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law." "We have no right to execute anyone," the Jews objected. This happened so that the words Jesus had spoken, indicating the kind of death he was going to die, would be fulfilled. Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "Is that your own idea?" Jesus asked, "or did others talk to you about me?" "Am I a Jew?" Pilate replied. "It was your people and your chief priests who handed you over to me. What is it you have done?" Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. Now my kingdom is from another place." "You are a king then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You are right in saying I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." "What is truth?" Pilate asked. With this he went out again to the Jews and said, "I find no basis for a charge against him. But it is your custom for me to release to you one prisoner at the time of the Passover. Do you want me to release the king of the Jews?" They shouted back, "No, not him. Give us Barabbas." Barabbas had taken part in a rebellion. Thus far the reading of God's holy word. As always, brothers and sisters, I ask and urge you to keep your Bibles open and handy as we look to God's Word together on this Good Friday evening. Dear congregation of Jesus Christ, just for the record, this is a record. For the benefit of the boys and girls and young people who are here with us tonight. In fact, this is a 45 speed record. And this is a record containing two songs by the late country music star Johnny Cash. Now, some of you near the front may be able to see on this particular side of the record is the title of the song, and it reads, "What is Truth?" What is truth? Some of you who are at least as old as I am may recall that the theme to that song was especially directed concerning the all too frequently unanswered cry of the young. As Johnny Cash in this song repeatedly croons, "And the lonely voice of youth cries, what is truth? And the lonely voice of youth cries, what is truth?" Think about that. But you know something, dear friends, it isn't only Johnny Cash who ever asked that question, needless to say. And it isn't only young people who need to discern and define their own individual answer to that eternally critical question. In fact, as we turn to the study of God's Word this evening, and especially focus in on the words of our text in John 18, verses 33 through 40, we find ourselves being challenged by the fact that just as was true for all of the Jews and the Roman governor Pilate some 2,000 years ago on that very first Good Friday, so too every man, woman, and child alive today also needs to determine whether they are standing with Jesus, whether they are standing with Pilate, or whether they are standing with the crowd of Jewish leaders and laity when it comes to their own personal answer to that, again, eternally significant question, what is truth? What is truth? Now then, in order to help each and every one of us better discern the dynamics of that question, in order to help each and every one of us determine whether our own answer to that question is actually in our favor and for our benefit in time and for all eternity or not, let us first of all consider the fact that our text teaches us tonight, Jesus Christ represents truth incarnate. Jesus Christ represents truth incarnate. For example, look at John 18, verse 33 with me, if you would, as this dialogue between Jesus and Pontius Pilate begins, as it commences, verse 33. Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus and asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Now, friends, it isn't as clear in the English text, but in the Greek, that word "you" is in the primary emphatic position. And what that means is that Pilate was asking this question with a measure of mockery and disdain. He was saying literally, "You are the King of the Jews. You are the King of the Jews." And then notice in verse 34, Jesus says, "Is that your own idea? Or did others talk to you about me?" Now, I have a very excellent footnote here in my study Bible, which makes the following comment, and I'm going to quote it to you. When Jesus said, "Is that your own idea?" the comment here is, if so, Pilate's question had meant, "Are you a rebel?" If the question had originated with the Jews, it meant, "Are you the Messianic king?" And so Jesus asked him, "Is that your own idea? Or did others talk to you about me?" "Am I a Jew?" Pilate replied. no doubt with a good measure of disdain once again. It was your people and your chief priests who handed you over to me. What is it you have done? And friends, again, notice what is going on here in this dialogue. Pilate had asked Jesus in verse 33, "Are you the king of the Jews?" He wanted the answer to his identity. Jesus did not give him that answer at that particular point in time, did he? And so Pilate goes on now to ask not about his identity, but about his deeds. Since Jesus didn't answer the question as to, "Are you the king of the Jews?" he wants to know what he had done, which led the Jews and the Jewish leaders to turn him over to himself. "Am I a Jew?" Pilate replied. "It was your people and your chief priests who handed you over to me. What is it you have done?" Now Jesus goes back and answers the first question that Pilate had asked. Jesus said, verse 36, "My kingdom is not of this world." And that's true, is it not? Jesus' kingdom is not of this world. But it is certainly in this world, and it is certainly over this world. In fact, the Bible says in Revelation chapter 11, verse 15, that the day is coming when the kingdom of the world will become the kingdom of our Lord and of His Christ. But Jesus was correct in answering the question by saying, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews." And as it was, you may recall that in the Garden of Gethsemane, when the temple police came to arrest Jesus, the Apostle Peter, the Bible says, took out a sword and he sliced off the right ear of the servant of the high priest, a man named Malchus. And he received a rebuke from Jesus. In John 18, verse 11, Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword away. Shall I not drink the cup the Father has given me?" Or it's the great reformer John Calvin, and I quote, "The kingdom of Christ is strengthened more by the blood of the martyrs than by the aid of arms," end of quote. And indeed, that is why in verse 36, Jesus continues by saying, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another place." "You are a king then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You are right in saying, I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify, to martyreo," the Greek says. It's where we get our word martyr from. It means to be a witness, to testify as if in a court of law. "For this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." Now stay with me. That word "listens" in the original is akouo. It's where we get our word acoustic from. And akouo means not simply to hear, but it also means to heed. It means to listen with the intent of obeying. And so needless to say, Jesus is speaking here essentially about His sheep. He is speaking of those whom by the sovereign grace and electing love of God, the Holy Spirit enkindles within them the effectual call of God, and they hear the call of the gospel. They are convicted of their sin. They repent of their sin. They profess faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and then they go forth to live lives of grateful obedience and faithfulness before His face. Turn with me, if you would, for example, to the gospel according to John. Stay in the gospel of John, the 10th chapter. Just go back a few pages to the left. John chapter 10, beginning in verse 27. Look with me, please. In John chapter 10, 27, we read, Jesus says, "My sheep, listen, akouo, to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." Consequently, dear friends, when Jesus speaks these words concerning truth and those who listen to the truth are on the side of truth, when He speaks those words to Pilate, it ought not to surprise us. It ought not to surprise us in the least. Because back in the Gospel of John, turn with me please, the very first chapter, the first two verses of the very first chapter of John, we read, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Drop down to John 1:14. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Verse 17, same chapter. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And then finally on this score, let's go over to John chapter 14. We're staying in the Gospel of John, the 14th chapter, the first six verses. It's right before Jesus is arrested, betrayed, and crucified in John 14, 1 and following. He says to His fear-filled disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in Me. In My Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with Me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to Him, "Lord, we don't know where You are going. So how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me." And so is it any wonder that again in the words of our text, back down there in verse 37, Jesus says to Pilate, "You are right in saying I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to Me." Some people say, how could Jesus possibly say that? How in the world could He possibly say that? The reason is because Jesus Christ represents truth incarnate. He represents truth incarnate. But notice, secondly, our text teaches us that while Jesus represents truth incarnate, Pilate didn't care about the truth. Pilate didn't care about the truth. For notice, after this glorious declaration by Jesus, that Pilate had the very embodiment of truth standing right in front of his face, responds to that statement of Jesus in verse 38 by saying, "What is truth? What is truth?" Pilate asked. Now think about that. Friends, what do you suppose Pilate meant when he asked that question? In other words, how do you suppose Pilate asked that question? For example, just the other day, someone asked me what I thought what one of their relatives said to them meant. They told me what one of the relatives had said to them. It was somebody in the congregation. They wanted me to tell them what I thought their relative meant by saying what they said. So I said, before I can answer that, I need to know something. I said, you know, how did they ask the question? You know, what did they sound like? I said, were they laughing when they said that to you? Or did they seem serious when they said that to you? And this person said, "I don't know. They said it by means of a text." And isn't that our problem in this particular, with this particular question? We too are dealing with a text. We're dealing with a text. So it's hard to know exactly how Pilate said it, or for sure what he meant by it. So some people have supposed that Pilate asked the question with all seriousness and he really wanted to know the answer to the question. Others posit the position that Pilate meant he wanted to know the truth of the situation, the relationship between Jesus and the Jews, and why they had in fact handed him over to him. Others say, no, Pilate was just asking a philosophical, theological, metaphysical question. He just laid it out there. What is truth? Well, friends, however Pilate said it and whatever he meant by it, I think we can all agree in an ultimate sense, Pilate didn't care about the truth. Because, notice, our text goes on to teach us he didn't even wait to hear a reply or a response from Jesus. He asked the question, what is truth? But he didn't even linger long enough to have Jesus answer his query. Think about that. Reformation Study Bible shares this insightful comment on this portion of our text that I'm quoting now. It states, "Truth does not matter to those who, like Pilate, are motivated by expediency. Likewise, truth does not matter to skeptics who have despaired of knowing it." End of quote. But friends, that still leaves Pilate's question sort of hanging in midair, does it not? What is truth? Well, what is truth? Listen, young people, listen. Boys and girls, listen. Truth is what is. Truth is things as they really are. It is the reality of who we are as human beings. It is the reality of who we are as sinners. It is the reality of who Jesus Christ is. It is the reality of what the kingdom of God is all about. It is the reality of how we are saved and why we are sentenced to an eternity in hell. It is the reality of things as they really are. That's what truth is. That's what truth is. The great Bible commentator Matthew Henry has written, "Truth is that pearl of great price which the human understanding is in quest of or in search of, but cannot rest but in that which is, or at least is apprehended to be, truth." I'm going to read that again. "Truth," writes Matthew Henry, "is that pearl of great price which the human understanding is in quest of or in search of, but cannot rest but in that which is, or at least is apprehended to be, truth." End of quote. And that's true. But friends, why then, as Dr. Steve Lawson said recently at the Ligonier National Conference, why is it then that the supreme sin today is to make a claim about absolute truth? Think about that. Why is it then that the supreme sin today is to make a claim about absolute truth? For example, Thursday, March 28, 2013, yesterday, headline, Herald News: "Gay marriage debate reflects shifting opinion. Gay marriage debate reflects shifting opinion." USA Today reported the other day that the U.S. Supreme Court Justice Elena Kagan had made quite a stir as the Supreme Court was hearing oral arguments on the DOMA law, Defense of Marriage Act, which was passed by Congress by large majorities and signed by President Clinton in 1996. Because Elena Kagan said that the law was posited in part, quote, to express moral disapproval of homosexuality. And then she said, and again I quote, "that surely raises a red flag of discrimination." End of quote. Perhaps you saw the headline just the other day concerning Senator Rob Portman. In change of heart, Portman endorses gay marriage. Ohioan is the only sitting GOP senator to support the issue. This little article begins by reading this, and I quote, "Republican Senator Bob Portman said Thursday that he now supports gay marriage. A surprise turnabout on a hot-button social issue, listen, sparked by a deeply personal reflection that began 2 years ago after Portman's son Will told him that he is gay. The man was convicted of the sin of homosexuality apparently his whole life, until recently when his son told him that he is gay and he did a surprise turnabout on this issue." Friends, be that as it may, listen. Whether we are talking about homosexuality or any sin or any subject in the entire world, truth is not to be found by looking to public opinion polls. Truth is not to be found by determining what some U.S. Supreme Court justice says is some sort of or so-called form of discrimination. Truth is not to be found in some personal circumstance or situation. Pick a sin. pick a subject. Truth is to be found only in the person of the one who said, I am the truth, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And truth is only to be found in His Holy Spirit-inspired Word, which Jesus says in John 17, 17, is truth. It is truth. You see. Now, the kind of headlines I just shared with you ought not to surprise us. In fact, they ought not to surprise us in the least. In fact, recently, two national surveys have both recently confirmed, are you ready for this? That 64% of adults, 36 years of age and older, deny the existence of absolute truth. If you're 36 years of age or older, 64% of our fellow Americans say there is no absolute truth. 75% of adults, 18 to 35 years of age, deny the existence of absolute truth. And a whopping 83% of teenagers, 83% in America today, deny the existence of absolute truth. They say that truth depends on the individual and or on the circumstances. In other words, truth is relative. Truth is relative. It all depends. Think of it. So, my dear friends in the Lord, listen. That is why already 2,000 years ago, why our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ represented truth incarnate. And while Pontius Pilate didn't care about the truth. Thirdly and finally, our text teaches us that the crowd wanted to crucify the truth. The crowd wanted to crucify the truth. Look at verse 38 of John 18 with me, if you would please. Here we read. What is truth? Pilate asked. With this, he went out again to the Jews and said, I find no basis for a charge against him. But it is your custom for me to release to you one prisoner at the time of the Passover. This is a custom which the Jews had, which sort of represented or symbolized their own release from captivity in Egypt when the Passover was inaugurated. That was also the point of the Passover, of course, to remember their being set free when the angel of death passed over those homes that were covered with the blood. Do you want me to release the king of the Jews? Now, the gospel, according to Matthew, dear friends, tells us that Pilate proposed the choice. He proposed either Barabbas or Jesus. I believe that he asked this question here. Do you want me to release the king of the Jews? Because perhaps he still had the cries of Palm Sunday ringing in his ear. Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. He may have thought they would choose Jesus. Remember, he was trying to wash his hands of the matter. So too, the gospel according to Matthew, the 27th chapter, tells us, remember, in verses 19 and 20, Matthew 27, 19 and 20, that while Pilate was sitting on the judge's seat, his wife sent him this message, don't have anything to do with that innocent man, for I have suffered a great deal today in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus executed. And so even though Proverbs 17, 15 tells us that acquitting the guilty and condemning the innocent, the Lord detests them both. Still in all, back in the words of our text in John 18, verse 40, they shouted back, no, not him. Not the king of the Jews. In other words, give us Barabbas. Barabbas had taken part in a rebellion. Luke 23, 19 tells us that he had also been thrown into prison for murder. Think of it. And yet even so, it was Jesus whom the crowd wanted to crucify. They literally wanted to crucify the truth. You know, friends, it's interesting. As we close, turn back a few pages with me, please, to the Gospel according to John, the 8th chapter. John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 34, Jesus is speaking to those who claim to be free because they were descendants of Abraham. It's a context in which the Jewish opposition was already increasing against Jesus. And in John 8:34, Jesus says, "I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. A slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." Drop down to verse 42, please. Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me. For I came from God and now am here. I have not come on my own, but He sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I am telling the truth, why don't you believe me? He who belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God." Question. On this Good Friday evening, do you, not anybody else, not your parents, your children, your brother, your sister, somebody else, friend, do you personally believe the truth? Or do you believe the lie sent from the father of lies? Do you personally, like Pilate, not care about the truth? Or do you, like the crowd, literally want to crucify the truth? Well, my dear, dear friends, listen. If you and I truly desire to be set free from the guilt and the penalty and the pollution of sin, if you and I truly desire to be set free from the tyranny of Satan and slavery to sin, if you and I truly desire to be set free from fear of Satan, fear of hell, fear of death, fear of the grave, fear of where we will spend eternity, then by the grace of God alone, let us put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone. Because then we will not be found numbered upon those who pass out of this life into an eternity of torment, still crying out from the depth of their being with the still unanswered question for them, what is truth? Amen. Let's bow our heads and our hearts together in prayer. "You are right in saying that I am a king," said Jesus. "In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. O Lord our God, by Thy grace and mercy, by Thy strength and spirit, in the midst of a country and a culture which increasingly seems not to care about the truth, and in the midst of a country and a culture where more and more people seem intent on crucifying the truth, enable and empower each and every one of us, we pray, today and every day, to believe in, to love, and to ever more faithfully live for the one who claimed to be and represents truth incarnate, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hear us, Heavenly Father, we pray, in His most high and holy name. Amen."